Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some stories leave us with more questions than answers, like a shadow lingering just beyond the light. Tonight, we explore one such tale, a family, a home, and an unseen presence that seemed to seep through the walls of their everyday life. It begins with a young child's excitement over a new bedroom, but it doesn't take long for that excitement to turn into unease. What would you do if a light fixture defied logic, a bureau blocked a door on its own, or an unseen voice called your name from the shadows? These aren't just stories to this family, they're fragments of a reality they lived through, a reality that seemed to blur the line between the known and the unknown. Was it a restless spirit seeking attention, or something far more personal, an echo of a tragedy buried in the very bones of the house? These questions haunt the family to this day. Let's get to the letter. They write, "I was 9 years old and thrilled to move into our new home. For the first time, I had my very own room, a big moment for any kid. The house wasn't fancy, but it felt like a fresh start for our family of five. It was an older house with creaky floors and the kind of quirks you'd expect, but nothing that seemed unusual at first. The excitement didn't last long. A few months after we moved in, something strange happened, something none of us could explain. One day, we all went to the circus, leaving the house empty for hours. When we returned, we found the light fixture that hung at the bottom of the staircase lying upside down on the floor. It wasn't broken, and two of the three screws that held it in place were still intact. The third screw was up in the ceiling as if it had been unscrewed deliberately. My parents were baffled. They double-checked with my grandmother, the only other person with a key to our house, but she hadn't been there. No one had. It was one of those moments that made you second-guess yourself. Maybe it was just loose, right? Maybe it fell on its own, but the screws were there, untouched, as if waiting for someone to notice. A few weeks later, we celebrated my brother's birthday. Family came over, and the kids were playing upstairs while the adults stayed downstairs. My brothers and male cousins were in one room, and I was with the girls in my room. We were called down for cake, and when we came back, my brothers couldn't get into their bedroom. The door wouldn't budge. When my dad and uncle came to help, they discovered the bureau, usually against the wall on the far side of the room, had somehow moved in front of the door, blocking it completely. The door opened inward, so it made no sense. They had to muscle the door open, scraping the floor in the process. When we got inside, the windows were locked, the beds were undisturbed, and no one was hiding. We even did a head count. Everyone was accounted for. Yet somehow that heavy piece of furniture had moved entirely on its own. For a while after that, things calmed down, or at least we told ourselves they did. But the house had already started earning a reputation. Friends who stayed over claimed they saw strange things, like the eyes in my mother's wedding picture over the mantle turning red. We even staged little pranks, like rigging trophies to fall during pretend seances. At the time, we thought it was harmless fun. But looking back, I wonder if we weren't just waking something up. It wasn't until my brother described hearing his name called that I started taking things more seriously. He was alone in his room, listening to music, when he heard someone call him from the bottom of the stairs. When he went to look, he said he saw a white floaty thing at the base of the staircase. I didn't believe him. Not at first. I thought maybe he was just tired or imagining things. But then it happened to me. I was alone in my room one afternoon, listening to music. The house was quiet, too quiet. That's when I heard it. My name, faint but distinct, coming from downstairs. At first, I thought I was hearing things, but it came again, clearer this time. I turned off the music and looked out into the hallway. Nothing. But when I glanced down the stairs, I saw it. The same white, floaty thing my brother described. It was faint, like a fog, but unmistakable. I froze. Every instinct in me screamed to run, to do anything but stand there. But curiosity won out, at least for a moment. I took one step forward, then another, peering down the staircase. As I did, it seemed to shift, almost as if it was aware of me. That was enough to send me racing back to my room. I slammed the door, locked it, and sat on my bed, staring at the handle, afraid it might turn on its own. I didn't tell anyone at first. How could I? My brother had already shared his story, and I'd dismissed it. Now it was my turn to live with the doubt, the fear, and the unshakable feeling that we weren't alone in that house. My curiosity eventually got the better of me. A friend of mine had an Ouija board, and we decided to try it out one day after school. It seemed innocent enough at first, just a silly game. But when the planchette began moving, spelling out coherent answers to our questions, it stopped feeling like a game. The spirit claimed to be a young boy who had died in the house. He didn't give us his name, but he said he'd been buried somewhere within the walls. It became a regular thing. My friend and I would ask the board questions, and the answers were always consistent, always unnervingly specific. We convinced ourselves it was harmless, though looking back, I'm not so sure. One night, my younger brother decided to try the Ouija board with some of his friends. I wasn't there for most of the session, but afterward, they came running to me, their faces pale. The spirit had told them that its body was buried beneath the fourth floorboard back from the front of the house. They were determined to see if it was true. At first, I resisted. Our mom wasn't home, and I wasn't about to let them tear the place apart, but I was just as curious as they were. Eventually, I gave them a half-hearted okay, as long as they didn't do too much damage. They peeled back the corner of the carpet in my brother's room and pried up one of the floorboards. It wasn't easy, and when they finally got it up, there was nothing underneath, just dust and old wood. That should have been the end of it. But then my brother noticed the slanted wall at the edge of his room, the one that ran parallel to the roof. There was a small, hidden space behind it, too narrow to crawl into. He wanted to make a hole in the wall to see what was back there. Again, I told him no, but I didn't stop him when he grabbed a hammer. The first hole revealed nothing but darkness. He shone a flashlight inside, and that's when we saw it. Something white lying on the floor. We couldn't tell what it was at first, but when he reached in and pulled it out, it turned out to be two small t-shirts, the kind a boy might wear. They were perfectly preserved, as if time had forgotten them. The shirts unnerved all of us. How had they ended up there, and why? My brother insisted they were connected to the spirit. He said we needed to do something to set the boy free. That's when someone suggested taking the shirts to the cemetery and burying them. It seemed like a strange idea, but no one could think of a better one. We found an old shirt box, placed the t-shirts inside, and took them to the cemetery that night. We didn't have a shovel, so we dug a shallow hole with our hands, just deep enough to cover the box. Wasn't much of a burial, but it felt right, like we were doing something meaningful, even if we didn't fully understand it. That night, the house felt different, quieter. Still, it was as if a heavy weight had been lifted. And after that, the strange occurrences stopped. No more voices, no more white floaty things, no more moving furniture. Even the Ouija board stopped working. The planchette didn't move, no matter how hard we tried. For years, I told myself that was the end of it. But sometimes when I think back on those days, I wonder if we truly helped that spirit or if we just buried something we didn't want to face. The t-shirts, the voices, the board. It all felt too real to dismiss. But without answers, the story remains just that. A story. Even now, I can't shake the feeling that there's more to it. Something just beyond my reach. Maybe the house is still holding on to its secrets, waiting for the right person to uncover them. Or maybe we were just kids with overactive imaginations. Either way, I'll never forget the day we lifted that floorboard or the silence that followed. Stories like this remind us of the thin line between the known and the unknown. A family moves into a home, expecting a fresh start, but instead finds themselves wrapped in a mystery that defies logic. Was this a haunting? A restless spirit trying to reach out? Or could there be a simpler explanation? A collective psychological phenomenon born from fear, curiosity, and a house with its own peculiar creaks and groans. Let's unpack this. The early events, like the moved light fixture and the bureau blocking the door, could, in theory, be attributed to environmental factors or even a prank. Houses settle, things shift, and sometimes we see connections where none exist. But the persistence of these experiences, particularly the visual sightings of the white floaty thing, makes it harder to dismiss. Was this merely a trick of light, or did the family witness something beyond our understanding? The discovery of the shirts raises even more questions. Were they truly connected to the supposed spirit, or just an eerie coincidence? It's worth noting that old homes often hold forgotten objects, mementos of past lives that linger long after their owners have gone. But the t-shirts, combined with the Ouija board's cryptic messages, seem to tell a story. Did these children unwittingly uncover a fragment of someone's history? And if so, who was that someone? From a psychological standpoint, it's possible the family's collective experiences were shaped by suggestion and shared anxiety. Once one person reported an odd event, it could have planted a seed in the minds of others. But that doesn't explain everything. The voices, the sightings, the sudden silence after the burial of the shirts, all of it suggests something more, something that can't be so easily rationalized. Maybe this was a case of a spirit trying to find peace, or maybe it was the house itself, a vessel for the echoes of lives long past. Whatever the truth, one thing is certain. This family lived through something that changed them. And isn't that the essence of a great mystery? It's not about the answers. It's about the questions that keep us awake at night, wondering what might still be out there. Until next time, stay curious, and maybe think twice before you lift that floorboard.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.